Welcome once again to No Longer Conformed. As we continue our study in the book of Acts, which I've entitled this study, Luke's History of the Church, Volume 2, we'll today be looking at, in this session, Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, which is entitled Preaching to the Religious Leaders. We've considered the healing of the lame man at the temple gate. We've considered Peter preaching to the people about the miracle. And last time we looked at the arresting of the apostles by the religious leaders. And why were they taking into custody? Well, you remember it was because they preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And that's in Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. We see an exclamation of their concern. In verses 5 through 7, it says, "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have you done this?" They were basically brought before Israel's Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. Did you notice Luke's comment there in verse 6? As many as were of the family of the high priest. You know, you got to remember something. When looking at the high priest, remember it was Annas and Caiaphas who were the ringleaders at Jesus' trial. And they now have lined up against his apostles. And they made it a very uncomfortable setting. It says, in the midst. Everybody knew who they were. Everybody knew what they did with Jesus. And there they were, sitting right there in the middle of them. Everything was ready. And the prosecution asked the critical question, by what power or by what name have you done this? Why were they on trial? I mean, why were they on trial? Well, authority to heal, authority to preach. And don't forget the Sadducees' concern. Don't miss it. This is all about authority to preach. But they shifted the issue from man's things to God's things. Peter couldn't have let that opportunity slip away. The man was healed in Jesus' name. So the apostle told them about that, about that name. They wanted a defense. And as a defense, they got a sermon. What is the saying? The best defense often is a good offense. So where did Peter get the message that he delivered? Well, the answer is in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel." The Holy Spirit, this is the fulfillment of Luke chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 and 12. When Jesus told them, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. In verses 9 through 12, kind of a mini sermon on the name of Jesus. This is the name that brings wholeness. This is the name that brings salvation. Verse 9 of Acts chapter 4. If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's some very interesting images. The people wanted to know about the healing, and Peter pointed them to the name of Jesus. Back there in chapter 3, verses 12 and 16. The leaders wanted to know about the name, and Peter pointed them to the healing. Verses, chapter 4, verses 7 and verse 10. So what's the point here? What's the point? Well, wholeness and salvation can't be separate issues. They're united in the name of Jesus. The irony of the situation is that the religious leaders were worried about political danger, and the name of Jesus brings good things. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel. Peter was ready to preach to anyone. 2.5 verses. And what a sermon he delivered. First, he declared their guilt in the second part of verse 10 by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God had raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. You crucified, God raised, we're also guilty. We're also guilty. Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The healing name of Jesus, resurrection, proves his saving power, and they rejected the power. So he declared their guilt. The second thing he did was he proved the Savior. Verse 11, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Again, Peter appealed to Scripture. The Scripture of Psalm 118 and verse 22 regarding Jesus Christ. The leaders were the builders who tossed away the cornerstone of God's building, Jesus Christ. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The early church used this cornerstone motif on several occasions. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which was laid, which is Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Peter himself used it in a letter of his in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And even Jesus used it. In Luke chapter 20, verse 17, then he looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And the third thing he did after establishing their guilt and after proving who the Savior is, that Jesus is the Savior, he then offered them grace. In verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If there is salvation in no other name, then a person must make a commitment through it. Notice the switch from you to we, going from verse 11 to 12. What would they do with Jesus Christ? Would they accept Him? Or would they continue to reject? They asked about the name. He answered their deepest need. What about you? What will you do with Jesus? Think about that. We'll see you next time. Have a great day.